T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is the WEEI Producer Show.
Swinging a drive to deep left field. It is way back, and it is gone. Bogey goes yard, and it's 5-3.
With Tyler Devin.
Pitch swing. There's a line drive to left field. It's high. It's deep. Back it goes, and gone. A home run, a tie ball game.
Ryan Garvin.
And he swings and drives one to center field and deep. Kiermaier back to the warning track by the wall, and he jumps. It's gone. Three-run homer, J.D. Martinez. Red Sox jumping out of the dugout in mass as the Red Sox take the lead. 8-5 Boston.
When I think of this team, I just think of grit.
I'm sorry we weren't going to say, but we f***ing good.
Chris Shimes.
Stole one here in Tampa, and now we're going back to Fenway. Best of three series with home field advantage. I like it.
On WEEI.
Can you believe it?
That's right. The Boston Red Sox are coming back to Boston. To the dismay of some people in this town, but they are coming back with a 1-1 split, which, if Ryan Garvin, if I were told you got one inning out of Erod, one inning out of Chris Sale, and you're coming back with a 1-1 split, you would say what?
I would say that Tanner Houck is going to come in and shove it down the Rays' throats.
He's like the right-handed Chris Sale. He was the exact pitcher they needed after Sale was just not a no-show yesterday.
Were we missing some home run calls there? I feel like they went they went bridge a couple times there. What happened?
Yeah, so behind the curtain, which actually, if you listened to the broadcast last night, you know of the issues.
Which I did, which is why I'm asking.
Sure. So if you did not listen to the broadcast last night and you were locked into FS1, the call with Joe Davis and John Smoltz,
John
I believe.
John Smoltz.
Our broadcast here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network, had some technical difficulties.
Oh, poor guys.
And as much as you would like to dump, you know, the audience, you might like to dump on EEI for our issues. This wasn't our fault here. This was not our fault.
Nope.
This was Tropicana Field and the dump that is. It's just a horrible, probably the worst arena, you know, dome, any sort of facility in pro sports.
They're all being fed through the same 56K modem.
Right, they're using AOL dial-up over there in St.
Petersburg. I'm in my kitchen making dinner, and I'm listening to Will. I'm listening to Joe Castiglione, and I hear, you know, oh, it's way back. It's at the wall. And it just disappeared. I'm like, sweet, home run. Here we go. Nope, Kevin Kiermaier made some stupid play out in center field for a catch to
was
run.
It on that play?
Wow. It was middle part of the game, but I really have to give a ton of credit to Joe and Will for powering through just the most ridiculous stipulations to call a game. They did it off their phone.
The internet crapped out. The trap failed.
Nothing
them.
They could have done but just keep going, and really, those guys did a wonderful job. I think they've done a great job all year, but this was a lot of fun last night, guys. I enjoyed this. So if you told me, Tyler, Chris Sale, one inning, Eduardo Rodriguez, one inning, I'd say that's probably par for the course for at least Eduardo. The Chris Sale thing, despite I don't think a lot of people had a lot of faith on him going into this game, one inning, woof.
Yeah, you need more out of Chris Sale. Like, going forward, if all he's going to do is give you one inning, you are in brutal shape.
Lou spent a good portion of our show on Maloney and Fourier yesterday talking about how his changeup has not been playing. It just doesn't have that same movement.
It's like Pavetta's slider in July.
Exactly, since he came back. It's getting hit a ton. It's getting hit for power. So if you don't have a changeup and you're a guy like Chris Sale with that funky arm angle, what do? You rely on your fastball. Your fastball's got no touch. He walked, I think it was Nelson Cruz, on four outside pitches in the first inning. And you're going, oh, this isn't good. After watching Shane Boz go out there and you know, gives up two runs. You're feeling good. Okay, I'm liking this. And then double play to end the inning. You're like, okay, at least we had something. Nope. Five spot from Tampa. There goes Chris Sale. And you're going, oh, God, what is Alex Cora going to do now? He turns to Tanner Houck,
who lit it up. And you saw it happen in the Yankees game, too, in the wild card playing game. When you don't walk guys, for whatever reason, this team has success because they can hit the ball. They can score runs. So don't put opposing players on base for free. Don't give them that opportunity, and you'll be fine.
And it was something.
Because you want to know something? As soon as Chris Sale came out of the game, he let up one walk, four hits, and then you know what? They didn't walk another batter.
And they should have seen it the night before because they didn't manage to get one walk against McClanahan or the rest of that staff, Chargois and Robertson.
It's like the first batter of the game in game one, they walk.
You know, it feels like they're pressing. It feels like they're ripping the bat too hard. You know, we talked about Rafi Devers and his injury, and I heard David Ortiz on the post game. He called Alex Cora and he called Rafael Devers and said, listen, when you're, you know, you might be dealing with something, it's mid-October and you've been playing a ton of games this year. Don't try to do too much. I think Alex Rodriguez had some platitude about don't try to hit the ball hard, try to hit the ball solid, whatever the hell that means. I'm so tired of
hit the ball solid.
Good contact. Come on, Ryan.
But these guys were much more patient in hunting pitches, which is why it's a reason I thought that this Red Sox team would have a good chance against Tampa. I know everybody's afraid of their bullpen. I think it's wildly overrated. Yes, they have a ton of guys in there that can, you know, throw 98 at your head or whatever Kevin Cash said a couple of years ago to the Yankees. But my point is, if all your bullpen can do is throw in the high 90s, that's plan A. What happens when that doesn't work? What happens when there's no plan B? You get smoked 14-6. I didn't see popcorn. I didn't hear cowbells. Troptober sucks. I still have Red Sox.
No Rays fan anthem.
I still feel really great about this team. They woke up last night. It was wonderful to watch. Now
you guys are classic negative Boston media. I'll take Sox in seven, kid.
They don't play seven games, John.
Wait, is that from what? Last? Was that 2018?
Love you,
no.
Johnny.
Who's that?
From Thursday. It's moron, I swear.
All right, this is the WEI producer show. We got Ryan Garvin, Chris Scheim, Tyler Devitt. There is no John Anderson today. No John Anderson.
So only in spirit.
That is the sound of the radio staying on WEI 93.7. So yeah, the game script makes almost no sense. You get Chris Sale for an inning. You get Erod for five outs.
Yeah.
You get no runs in game one. And you're coming back with a split.
You have take that every time.
You have Devers hurt. You have JD hurt. And apparently A-Rod was claiming after game one, like, that was a good thing?
Devers and Martinez can benefit from being hurt because in October, less is more.
And apparently he was right because both those guys were so damn good last night.
But he doesn't know everybody. He's not
everybody
right.
Was good.
I'm not giving
right.
Him
that
credit.
Doesn't make him
he fell
right.
Into
I
it.
Doesn't
a blind
know what
squirrel.
He's talking about.
I don't think that. Yeah, that has nothing to do with it.
No.
Everybody was good last night. You want to know why? Because the Rays bullpen stunk.
Yes.
And you dominated all of them. Michael Wacha and Shane Baz and Colin McHugh.
Yeah, the part of Martin Perez will be played by Michael Wacha tonight. And this is
Wacha.
This goes back to my point.
Just eat outs.
Is Tampa is usually covered for these kinds of things where they have a guy that they want to start the game. And then if it doesn't really work out, they can just go to these flamethrowers. The majority of their bullpen is right-handed. That's all well and good until they pick up your fastball. They don't see any spin on it. They're not, you know, swinging early in counts and just popping the ball up because they're chasing everything that's up and away or up in the zone and popping out to the infield. No, these guys did a really good job. Kike Hernandez was, honestly, if it wasn't for like a Garrett Whitlock or, you know, what Pivetta did or what Houck has done, he might be the best acquisition that Chaim Bloom has made this year. Renfro had a stretch there where you're like, it could be him, where he was raking in August. But Kike Hernandez has been solid all year. Hit a ton. He's your best center fielder. I know going into the season, the whole thing was going to be, oh, Jackie would have had it. Kike has done above and beyond what I think anybody would have expected of him. And I think that includes the Red Sox, maybe outside of Alex Cora.
And you have to be excited coming back to Fenway now. Keith Key for you guys from Actually, it was Thursday, the Red Sox scored the most runs they've scored against any opponent this year against the Rays already once. They scored like 20 runs against the Rays earlier in the year. They just scored 14 last night. 14 runs they scored last night. This is awesome. This just proves that you can hit the Rays. You can compete with this team. Just because they finished in first place and just because they had a really good record doesn't mean they're unbeatable by any stretch of the imagination. You guys can mash with the best of them. Now, will your pitching hold up? That's the big question.
Well, that's just it.
And coming home is nice for that. But at the same time, you need to figure a couple things out still in the pen and with your starters. You need your starters to go more than an inning going forward.
Fix Sox in 7, kid.
Oh, God damn.
Luckily, you have Evaldi going next.
Look, 14 runs is gravy. I was very happy that, you know, a Rosarena and you know, Wander Franco couldn't sit there and shove popcorn into their face and be all cute like they were. But I would have taken 6-7 runs. You might beat this team. Because I don't have any faith now outside of Nathan Evaldi. And who knows, maybe Nathan Evaldi has a weird game. You know, he's due. Look, the fact that we had, I think, 30-plus starts out of Nathan Evaldi this year is remarkable because he has not done it in a very long time. His entire tenure with the Red Sox, he's been hurt. It's been something, loose bodies, you know, achy neck, whatever. He came out and he was basically your MVP this year, in my opinion. He was consistent. He was a horse. He took the ball every fifth day. Every cliche you want to hit, he has been rock solid for this team when it's been tough to find a guy that has been like that. Nick Pivetta has shown stretches, but down, you know, last couple of months, he wasn't that good. Garrett Richards and Martin Perez were your guys. They're not even on the roster anymore. Matt Barnes came in and threw 80 pitches in the ninth inning. And he was the guy that replaced Garrett Richards. They're like, okay, we need this guy over. And I was happy to see Garrett Richards kind of found a role for himself in the bullpen, but
he forgot his jacket.
Well, if they could get Matt Barnes right, I think, again, you have another solid closer. And I can't even believe that I am about to say this, but where would they be right now without him? Oh, God. Where would they be right now without Hansel Robles?
Hey, Hansel Robles
has been 2 months ago. I don't want to see him anymore. He makes me ill to watch pitch. He can't command a fastball, and that is the only pitch that he really has.
Yeah, he has had a tremendous August and September, and like he has been one of your best middle relievers.
Shine, he hasn't allowed a run in his last 15 outings.
Hansel,
what is
so hot right now?
Who is this guy?
Hansel is so hot right now.
Coming down, you know, at the end of the year in the Baltimore series and the Washington series. Okay, he gave up a 2-run home run in the ninth inning of that. I think it was that second Nationals game. But the point is, this is working. If they could get a modicum of composure and just a shred of competitiveness, yeah, we'll go with that, from their starters, they're moving on. They're moving on because this offense showed you last night what they are capable of, and I love it. I'm here for it. Sox at 4, ha, not 7, John Anderson.
I hate to be the bearer.
7, kid.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, the last time WEI was at the suite, like as a company-wide event, was August 11th. We were there for, I think, the introduction of Jeff Rickard. It was like his first like real conversation to us as the program director. So the whole company was there, and the Red Sox scored 20 runs that night. It was 20-1.
Oh, it was that night that they scored 20 runs against the Rays?
Yes, going into the ninth inning. The next day, the Red Sox scored one.
One, yeah.
Against the same team. So this is just because they go off for 14 runs and, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 all get 4 or 5 hits, 2 home runs apiece. Like, that was the best the Red Sox lineup could have possibly looked last night. I just worry that they come back to Boston. You know, you're kind of, I wouldn't say that you have like all the house money, but you do have the momentum.
You're riding a high.
Yes, you have a momentum coming back. You're playing with home field advantage in 2 out of 3. You heard Kike Hernandez in the open saying, like, we like this. It's 2 out of 3. We have home field advantage. We like playing at home. But just to know that they went from 20-8 in an August game, and then the very next day they only scored one run against the Rays. I'm just trying to caution people that just because they win and explode, that the Red Sox aren't necessarily back, because I'm still very concerned about the pitching guys, because I don't really sense much changing. Because Ryan, if I would have told you guys early in the season, the three guys I only trust right now are Nick Pivetta, you know, Tanner Houck, and I don't even know. It's really the only two guys I really trust to start games right now, and it's not Sale. It's not E-Rod. And I don't even trust Matt Barnes to come out of the pen, the all-star closer. So there's a lot of question marks with the pitching right now.
Yeah, but you have to trust Eovaldi. Like, Eovaldi was nails against the Yankees.
True, yes.
Like, in big moments, especially in the playoffs, Eovaldi has proven, like, he is the guy. He is an alpha when it comes to the playoffs. And I don't think you're going to see one inning outing from Nathan Eovaldi tomorrow. Like, I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to come out. He'll give you four or five really strong innings. And you just need to get some run support. Loosen up a little bit. Get a lead. And you guys will be, and the Red Sox will be fine. Like, I don't think it's a matter of, like, oh, no, the pitching's terrifying. Yeah, beyond Eovaldi, right? Because if you can get the win tomorrow, now you're up 2-1, and now all the pressure's on Tampa. Now it's win or go home for them, and you put yourselves in the driver's seat. You don't have to worry about, oh, if my starter only goes one inning. Well, now Houck's probably ready to go again. Pivetta will probably be ready to go again because Eovaldi will be able to get you 4, 5, maybe even 6 if you're lucky, and you can kind of limit the use of that bullpen so that they're ready for Sunday. And you kind of just do what you did the first two games, where it's almost pitcher by committee. It's starter by committee. You come in with whoever you want to start the game with, whether it's E-Rod or Houck or Pivetta. They come in, they give you a few, and you go to the next guy.
Well, two things. One, I think Tyler's 100% right. Yeah, 14 runs is wonderful. And against a team that, despite the fact that I think that their pitching staff is a little overrated, I shouldn't say wildly overrated, because those guys can throw very well. It's going to be tough to go out and do that, and I think we saw that this whole momentum thing is so... It doesn't mean anything. No, it's not real. It's not
real. I thought you were going to say it's real.
No, it's not real. Look what they did against the Yankees. Everybody's swaying back and forth, singing Sweet Caroline. Oh, it's great. We eliminate the Yankees. It's a college atmosphere.
But that's, like,
and then they come
team.
Out in game one. It doesn't matter. They needed to win that game. They needed to take... They needed to sweep the Nationals. Swept the Nationals. Good momentum, right? Needed to beat the Yankees. Oh, arch rival. You know, oh, they're trying to take over. Don't go to the games. Boycott them. They're not worth your time. Yellow uniforms. Just
Adam
stupid.
Jones.
Just a cash grab. And they go on. They blow doors there, too. And then what happens? They come out in game one and they get shut out. Momentum is such crap. It's what these guys are capable of that is important.
Yeah, this
is why
hockey.
Seeing Xander Bogaerts and Rafi Devers, you know, nagging injury or not, Hunter Renfro, like, these guys got to wake up. And the fact that it is Xander, Kike, Rafi, JD Martinez on bad wheels that are carrying this team, this is what they need to do if they want to do anything in the playoffs, which nobody had given them any credit to do. And Sean, to your point, as far as Eovaldi, I think he has shown enough where you can rely on him.
You can trust him.
I can count, probably on one hand, his bad outings since the All-Star break. It was the last Yankees game where he went 2 2/3 and just got absolutely destroyed. And then George Springer coming back to the Blue Jays up at the Rogers Center, where he was dealing. This is July, I think. And he was going until it all just fell apart. And they're pimping home runs left and right, saluting the Canadian flag. Other than that, he's been perfect for you. He's done exactly what you needed to do when you have a bullpen that, you know, like you said, outside of Tanner Houck and Garrett Whitlock and now Hansel Robles, because definitely not the Hansel Robles back then. You
His
had
whip
no
was
faith
two.
Him. That guy sucked and I hated watching
whip.
Him.
Serve me up an order of hot piping Hansel.
The point is, it's this... You're set up really well. If Nate can give you 5, is that what we're really hoping for?
So
can you give me 5 innings, 1 run, 2 runs? Can you just get it to the next guy and not have Alex Cora pulling out the hair he doesn't have to figure out, oh, crap, what am I going to do for the next 8 innings because I just lost my starter? What am I going to do for the next 7 innings because E-Rod has no confidence in his ability to get guys out?
Outside of that game where he got shelled against the Yankees, Eovaldi hasn't gone less than 5 since August 6th against the Blue Jays, game you also mentioned.
Yep.
And he went 4 2/3 in that game still. Like, he gave up 7, but he went 4 2/3. So Eovaldi is going to go 5 innings. He's going to do it. Will he give up a couple runs? Maybe. Probably, to be fair. But he's going to go 5 innings at least. He's gone 5 innings every single start in September, except for that Yankee start. Like, Eovaldi is ready to go. There's not a pitcher on the staff I trust more than Nathan Eovaldi. And so for him to have the ball at home, game three, with the chance to take the lead in the series, you have to be thrilled.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
You got to be thrilled for the way Cora set this up and planned it out. How he started in that Yankees game, now he's coming home. It's a 1-1 series. It's a clean slate. It's now best of three. And Eovaldi starting, that's exactly what you want.
Speaking of Alex Cora.
Stay away from Pavetta, because I feel like you might need him for game four. Because seriously, they win. If they win Sunday, hope that you don't have to go back to Nick Pavetta again. Because other than that, who do you feel comfortable trotting out there? Is E-Rod going to bounce back?
You have three guys.
Is E-Rod going to look himself in the mirror and go, this time I got this. This time I'm not, you know, they're not going to spit on my changeup because I can actually. It's probably a discussion for a later date because he has a contract coming up, and I really want to like this guy. When Alex Cora is on with us on Marloni and Fourier, he's constantly saying he's one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball.
He's trending up, Ryan.
He's got the stuff. He's just going to trust that he's got the stuff. He's a guy that I do feel like he has the stuff, but it doesn't take very much for him to just lose all faith in himself. You can see it in his body language when he's up there. When he's feeling good, shoulders up, chest popped out. You can see he's confident. That's, I think, why anybody would have given Chris Sale any chance to go out there and do anything last night, because it's Chris Sale. That's it, though. It's like the Patriots. He was relying on his history last night, and it did him no favors, whereas Eduardo Rodriguez, I think, has the stuff to be great in this league as a left-handed pitcher, but I feel like he doesn't trust his own mechanics enough. It's always fun talking to Lou about this stuff, where it's like, all right, watch where his hands are, and it's all, he doesn't have one motion. It changes from game to game. You can't be in the league as many years as Eduardo has been and hope that it's just going to figure itself out. I'm not ready to write him off yet. You know, David Price sucked in his first game in 2018. Everybody said, I'm Dunsky with him. And then he came out in his next appearance, and he was really good. He got that playoff monkey off his back, and he finally could say, I won a game in the playoffs. I don't want to write off Eduardo Rodriguez yet, because I've seen what he can do when he's good, and he is a very good pitcher.
617-779-7937. Two questions for Red Sox fans to answer this morning. On the EEI Producers Show, how do you feel about the Red Sox after the 1-1 split coming back to Boston for Game 3? A raucous crowd expected for tomorrow night, 4 p.m. first pitch, which, by the way, will be going up after the Patriots-Texans game, which is a 1 o'clock start.
So I heard it was going to be awake.
Yes, there will be awake, according to some hosts, who all the hosts in the other station do not want the Red Sox to win. It's very blatantly obvious.
That's okay.
It's very blatantly obvious.
They don't have 6-8
till like midnight, because I think the evening show is like a 6-hour show because they can't get anyone to
That's
fill
what we're
time.
Here for. Yay, baseball.
But yeah, 617-779-7937. Two questions. How do you feel about the Red Sox? And another question I'll ask to you guys, and you can answer on the other side of this break. If you have to pitch one more guy, this is a question from Lou, by the way, on Twitter, a poll question he threw out, which is rare. A rare Lou Maloney poll question. Who do you think has the best chance to turn it around and figure it out this series, Chris Sale or E-Rod?
It has to be Chris Sale. Like, I just don't think mentally E-Rod is strong enough to be the one to come back.
Are we answering this now? Did you just say we're going to do this on the other side?
We can do it on the other side. I was actually kind of doing a call for calls.
God damn it, Chime.
I spilled my hand.
Yeah. Chris Chimes giving his answer a little bit early.
Guys, I'm just excited to talk Red Sox.
Forget you heard that. And while you forget that, I will tell you this hour of the Producer Show is sponsored by Kubota Tractor and MB Tractor and Equipment in Plastow, New Hampshire. Love those guys.
You.
Anyone who produces, actually I should say sponsors the Producer Show, is a friend of mine. So.
Well, there you go. So my answer to the poll question is Sale, and I'll tell you why.
Can we find
after Tyler hits
the
trending?
Sponsor show?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to the WEEI Producer Show.
Alex, I imagine after you guys score 2 in the first and give up 5 in the bottom of the first, that's a little deflating. You know, how big a point was it when I think it was you and Xander went back to back there in the third inning just to make it a game again?
Yeah, it was big. Obviously, we felt like we did a good job in the top of the first. You know, put 2 on and you know, just kind of get that momentum real quick. And you know, just you got to give it credit to the Rays. They in the bottom of the first, they put good at-bats on Chris Sale and, you know, worked him and, you know, ended up getting a grand slam and, you know, going up by 3. So it was definitely a little deflating at first, but I just remember going into the dugout and, you know, ACs coming up and down the dugout just, you know, it's all right, we got a whole game. You know, we got 8 more innings. Let's go, keep going. And, you know, just I felt like that really set the tone. And, you know, the hitters, they just didn't stop, man. They were relentless with, you know, battling pitches, you know, making a pitcher just get him over the plate. And, you know, we used the whole field today.
That is the voice of Alex Verdugo, one of the 5 Red Sox who homered last night. 20 hits for the Red Sox, 14 runs. They're coming back to Boston with a 1-1 split. This is the WEI Producer Show. Ryan Garvin, Chris Scheim, I'm Tyler Devitt. We'll take your calls on the Red Sox. And we'll, I guess we'll find if you have anything interesting to say about the Patriots. We'll take those calls at 617-779-7937.
By the way, maybe your most important hitter that we just heard from Verdugo? Right there. Absolutely. We did that fill in the blank the other day. Rafi Devers,
The best hitter needs to be blank.
Yeah. The best hitter needs to be Alex Verdugo.
Based on what?
Based on the fact that your guys are going to get on base. And it seems like it's a lot of single, station-to-station baseball. And he showed it in the Yankees game. He showed it in game 1. And he showed it last night that when there are guys in front of him, when there's runners in scoring positions, he is going to hit. He is going to find those gaps in that stupid AstroTurf outfield that is Tropicana. And he's going to help your team win. And that's how I felt about him. I think the fact that he has come in this year and has played as well as he had, I haven't heard one person say, oh, if we had Mookie Betts, think about where we're. Nobody cares that Mookie Betts is gone.
How wild is that?
Nobody cares that Mookie Betts is gone.
Talking point.
And Alex Verdugo has been playing very well for you. You know, a little bit of a down skid towards the end of the season, but I think for the most part, he has been a solid hitter. And considering the guys that he has in front of him, you know, I don't know if Cora builds that lineup with the intention of, oh, I can protect 4 and 5 by having Verdugo hit 6th. I don't know if that's what he's thinking about, but that's certainly how it's been working out.
So I have a question about what Verdugo was just saying. Like, after the first inning, you know, they're down 5-2, and it seems like it's, you know, they're going to come back 2-0. It's worst case scenario. You got nothing from Erod, nothing from Sale. And after you're down 5-2, it sounds like Verdugo was saying that Alex Cora in the dugout was telling the guys, like, all right, it's a long game. Like, we have the offense to come back from this.
It's the Alex Cora effect.
I wonder if it's more about the Alex Cora effect or if it's about the no Chris Sale effect, because Chris Sale was not going back in that second inning. You're bringing in Tanner Houck, a guy who we are all extremely confident in. If we're all extremely confident in Tanner Houck, that clubhouse and dugout has to feel the same way.
Oh, no doubt.
And I feel like that has to have some sort of, like, intangible effect on the offense to, like, kind of give them confidence. Because, like, if you're a defender like Xander Bogaerts or Alex Verdugo in the outfield and you're playing defense behind a Matt Barnes or an E-Rod or a Chris Sale, a guy who can't find the strike zone or get guys out, you're really kind of falling asleep on defense, and it's a different approach offensively. You're not as confident. But if you have a guy you know that can strike out of the side, turn in a perfect game in three separate outings in Tanner Houck, it kind of gives you confidence that you can come back from these outings.
See, I don't think they think like that, though. Like, right? I think when Bogaerts or Verdugo are in the field and Sale's on the mound, they have the most confidence in their guy. Like, I don't think
they say that, but I don't know if they do,
I don't think
anymore.
They think like us. And I think that's because of Alex Cora. I think he has instilled that in them, that no matter what, in any situation, one of our pitchers can come out and strike out the side. One of you guys can go out and hit a dinger and put us in the lead. Like, it's just one pitch, one at bat, one anything. Like, they take it one step at a time, and it's an Alex Cora effect. It is. I think that's one of the reasons this team is so good and has been so good under Alex Cora the years he has been here, is because he understands the mentality of a player, and he makes it. I know Gresh hates when you do this, but, like, he doesn't.
Well, Gresh is in here, so
he doesn't
no
make
screw.
It a team. He makes it
Andy,
a family.
834.
Like, all of these guys. 834. Thank you. He makes it a family, like the Vin Diesel family. I don't got friends, I got family. Because all these guys are going to go to bat for each other no matter what. And I think that's the mentality they have. They don't have our mentality where E-Rod's on the mound and we're like, oh God, here we go again. They're like, yo, E-Rod's on the mound, he's gonna light these guys up.
That's a warm, fuzzy platitude. I don't know if I would necessarily agree with the whole family thing. I would give those guys more credit for just having the faith in themselves. And maybe that does have to do with Alex Cora having the Alex Cora effect. Thank you, Alex Rodriguez, for that. I think it has more to do with these guys know what kind of player Chris Sale is and just his day-to-day attitude. He's a little psychotic, but he's a great clubhouse guy, and I think he's always been the sounding board for that team since he's been here. So when you see your emotional leader struggle how he has, you almost want to go, God, he's been there every time we've needed him to be there.
We got
to
pick him up.
I have to do something now to help this team win. And I don't have the number in front of me, but for whatever reason, when Chris Sale has started this year, the Red Sox put up a stupid amount of runs. Like, he is, I think, for the most part of the season, it's been like 7 runs, 8 runs a game that he's had as a cushion. And I don't know if that's just the effect of, I feel really good. I don't got to tighten my butthole up too much when I'm at bat. I can just be me.
We'll save that.
And I can be loose, and I can swing that thing, and I can just hit. And I don't got to worry about pressing so much because Eduardo Rodriguez is on the mound and things are bad. And by the way, just to pay off the tease from before, I have more faith.
Thank you. I would have forgotten.
I have more faith. Oh, God. Again, I said Hansel Robles.
Don't say it.
If Eduardo Rodriguez started again, I would have more faith in him going out and performing well. One, Jeebus. And it's such a stupid thing, but he is due. He really is. With Chris Sale, I don't think it's a confidence thing. I think it's a physical thing. He's still, this is what, May, June for him? This isn't October. He's still, you know, coming back from the surgery he had. He hadn't played baseball in over a year. I don't think he is where he needs to be. You could see it in his velocity last night.
Yep.
And
93, 94.
It's not good. And this goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the show. He's got no touch on his changeup. And then when he can't command his fastball either, and his fastball doesn't have the same velocity that it normally has, he's a dead man out there. There was no point in leaving him in after the first inning. That was the right call to take him out. Whereas Eduardo, I don't know.
Gone forever.
I don't know. Thank you.
Hopefully.
I don't know if somebody has to take Eduardo and you know, shove him against the locker and shake him a little bit and be like, you can do this. You've done this to the Rays this year. You did this to the Rays back in September. Like, he has the ability to be good, and I don't understand why it's just such a struggle for him.
Would you like to hear the run support that Chris Sale gets that you had mentioned?
Yeah, Chris Sale's stat desk.
So,
let's go.
14, 7, only 2. 12, 7, 10, only 3, but they won. 12, 6, 16. Like, every time Chris Sale is on the mound, no matter how long he goes into that game, the Red Sox score a crap load of runs.
I think there is a comfort when you know that
there's a mentality there.
This guy is going to go out there and bulldog for you. That
we're going to pick him up.
When he's playing well, it's a comfort of, oh God, you know, we're not going to be down 4 runs. I can just let the game come to me. And if Eduardo could just do half of that, I think their whole team would be better in the long run.
617-779-7937. This is the WEI producer show. Ryan Garvin, Chris Scheim. I'm Tyler Debbitt. 2 questions asking Red Sox fans this morning. How do you feel about the series? And who do you trust more going forward, Chris Sale or E-Rod? It looks like Steve in New London has a theory about Chris Sale. Good morning, Steve. What is your theory?
Gentlemen, I think because how are you? Sorry.
Good.
I think Chris.
Thank you for asking me how I'm doing. I appreciate that.
Can you hear that? Yeah, thank you.
I'm doing well. Yes, how are you?
You know, I'm moving, so it's a pain in the ass.
Excellent.
But, you know,
sounds about
whatever
right.
It is. It is what it is.
What's your theory here, Steve? Good morning.
I think that Chris is in recovery, and I think that he has to. I think he needs to go to the bullpen and be the reliever for whatever our needs might happen to be, because he's tipping his pitches. His arm position is not what it used to be, where he could throw from one position and the pitch would come as it was supposed to come to the batter, according to the catcher's call.
So,
and I believe that. Go ahead.
Yeah, quick follow-up there. So if he goes to the bullpen, how does the tipping pitch issue get corrected? If he's still a reliever or a starter, the issue is still the same, correct?
He goes to the bullpen as fastball slider, which is pretty much the same arm position, and also change.
So you're just saying he needs to limit his pitch selection, basically. He needs to go to the bullpen so he can limit pitch selection?
No, I think he needs to go to the bullpen so that the opponent gets a limited view of him. That's the story. That's what I believe.
I think the tape is already out there on Chris Sale to the point that I'm not really sure moving him to the bullpen would be the greatest move.
No.
If you were to do that, I think you would kind of need to force Tanner Houck to be a starter at that point, because you're not moving Chris Sale to the pen and not having a guy to replace him. Maybe that's Nick Pivetta at this point, but I also don't
think that that's necessarily the case. Like, it's not like he's only started like 2 games.
He's
been starting since what, August? August 14th was Sale's first start. And I mean, he's gone 5 innings in the vast majority of his starts. Like, I don't think that tipping pitches is necessarily his issue
right now.
I think Ryan's onto something. I think it's more of a physical issue.
Yep.
It's for him, this is May. It's June. It's not October. And so his body just isn't. I mean, the guy's coming off Tommy John. Like,
you can't simulate 7 months of baseball in 2 months. He's not there. He will be. I have faith that
he will
be. Yeah,
next year he will be fine.
And I think that's been
right now, he's just not.
Well, Alex's message all along has been, you know, it's not just about what Chris Sale can do for this team in 2021. It's about the future with him. And, I mean, okay, fine. You put him in the bullpen. Who takes his place in the starting rotation?
Hansel Robles.
Who do
let's
we go to? Big Fudge, come
Tanner
on
Houck.
Down.
Martin Perez, let's go.
I think Tanner Houck is fine in the role that he is in. Because Tanner Houck has a very finite amount of time in a game. Because, you know, let the analytics dictate whatever they want to dictate. The fact is, he can't go 3 times through the rotation. I don't necessarily think that's an analytics thing. I think that's just a byproduct of only having 2 pitches.
Did you hear what John Smoltz's theory was about that? He's like, well, you only give guys like Tanner Houck maybe like 3 to 5 shots at being a true starter, getting that third time through the rotation, or the lineup, I should say. And that it's almost unfair, because you have to like have those growing pains as a pitcher. As a starting pitcher, you have to learn how to really do that, get through the third time of the lineup. And if you're only giving him 3, 4, 5 starts to do that, you're not really going to have the opportunity to learn. Whereas if you give him 15 to 20 starts, you truly know, A, can this guy be a starting pitcher? B, can he learn from his mistakes and get to that third time of the order? So essentially what John Smoltz was saying was it was a sample size issue and an overreaction to that small sample size.
See, but I think they could have increased that sample size, right? Like, I think in one of Alex Cora's missteps, in a game that Tanner Houck is throwing five innings of perfect baseball, you should allow him to go up against the lineup for the third, fourth time and see how he reacts to that, because you're already in a tremendous spot. The guy hasn't given up a hit or walked a batter yet. Why the hell wouldn't you at least give it to him? And you keep him on a short leash. As soon as something happens, then you yank him. But you at least give him the opportunity to see, okay, how is this guy going to succeed against the lineup for the third time?
I don't think there's any advantage to it, though. He's already done what you need him to do. First of all, that's all well and good that John Smoltz feels that way. Maybe you don't tinker with this stuff in October. Maybe like this is like
yeah, a, this is
and this is
an August
to do in,
to July,
in spring training.
Thing.
Maybe let's see how he reacts to the third, you know, third time through the lineup. But if you can only go fastball slider, and you have nothing again, what I said about
but
the
nobody
rate,
can hit
if
that
you
slider.
Don't have a plan B until they do, which has happened. Until they do hit the slider, then what the hell do? You're screwed. So, if you don't have a plan B for your pitcher, you got to get him out. And if Tanner Houck doesn't have a plan B, which he has shown up to this point, he does not have a plan B, you can't leave him in there. But if you have him in important parts of the game, four innings, five innings is a lot to ask for him. But if you just have him nail it down, you know, ideal world, Chris Sale goes six, and then you have him in for seven and eight, and whoever comes in for the ninth inning, that's where you want him, because the first time you see him, he's untouchable. But the third time you see him, oh, you can get to him.
They start seeing those pitches and noticing where the location, the movement is going. Let's go to Dave in the car about Chris Sale. Dave, good morning. What do you think about Chris?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. We are excellent. Thank you for asking. Guys, I appreciate that.
I mean, you're sugarcoating it. You know what I mean? He's no good, and he ain't going to do nothing for him, and just let him go in a bullpen and see what he can do.
And are you basing that off of just the last 2 months of him returning from Tommy John, or what's
up? He's not ready to be a playoff pitcher, so.
Done for this year, or done for good?
I think the Sox shouldn't have paid him that money in the first place, but he's done. He's not going to do anything for them.
Yeah. Do you guys believe he's done, Ski?
No.
Even if you did, why the hell would you put him in the bullpen then? Like, if you think he's done, we're not going to just stick him in the bullpen, because then you would just have a guy who's done in your bullpen. Well, that's stupid.
And then for Garrett Richards, he was Dunsky as a starter, and they're like, well, we're paying
you.
That's
because he forgot his jacket.
They gave Garrett Richards every opportunity to figure it out, and he inevitably did end up figuring it out, but you can't do that as
in October.
A starter. But his issues and Chris Sale's issues were not even close to being the same. Chris Sale does have a you know, even if it is 93, 94, his fastball is still good.
Yep.
But the problem is, and it was so apparent last night, that he couldn't locate, you know, and maybe he was pressing too hard. Maybe, you know, he's played in a lot of these games before, but just with the set of weapons that he had available to him, you know, he might have been overpitching a little bit. And he has done it before. When he gets emotional, he overthrows
his pitches. It's very Tom
Brady-esque.
And it's
so obvious.
In that they get over-emotional and they're making small mistakes that you normally wouldn't see them make. Tom Brady's done it a ton in big games. You saw him do it against the Patriots. Emotional, high-energy games.
They're humans.
He's missing throws. He did it in Super Bowls. Chris Sale does it very similarly. He gets very high emotions. They're running, like adrenaline is pumping, and he'll miss a couple throws.
He
exactly. They're humans.
Angry. Which can work for him sometimes, but in the instance of where he was last night against that lineup, which has a lot of good righties in it, you know, you can't screw around with it. And I think Alex kind of knew, yep. All right, 30-plus, you know, first inning, pat on the butt, and we're going to try and take it from here and just get ready for a game five if we need you.
This is the WEI Producer Show. That is Ryan Garvin, Chris Scheim. I'm Tyler Devitt. The Producer Show is produced, as always, by Nick LaPan. Let's take our final break. Coming up after us, by the way, is the Ken and Curtis Show.
Ooh.
That I believe Live BP will be on this afternoon. And then
good Live
no
BP
Red Sox
today.
Baseball today, because they're playing tomorrow, Game 3, at Fenway Park, coming back to Boston with a 1-1 split. We are back after this.
Now back to more of the guys. The WEI Producer Show.
This is the WEI Producers Show. Chris Scheim, Ryan Garvin. I'm Tyler Devitt. We're here until 9 o'clock every Saturday morning. We're here starting at 8. The Ken and Curtis Show follows us. No Red Sox baseball this afternoon. Game 3 tomorrow at Fenway Park, which, by the way, the live BP baseball show doing a live broadcast 1-3 from the Cask and Flagon. Some text here. I think I saw one earlier. It said the voice, or I guess the microphone that Chris Scheim is using sounds different. The voice sounds sexier this morning.
That's because I am in the main studio where the hosts normally sit, so they have the good mics. Right. When I'm back behind the glass, the mics aren't nearly as good.
And it has nothing to do with the deepness of your voice and the party rock and all last night?
Nope.
The post-work activities?
It has nothing to do with the concert that I saw last night.
Checking.
Nothing.
Thank God this is a five-game series. We have the arms to go toe-to-toe for five games with Tampa, but not enough to go seven.
I would agree with that.
I would also agree with that. I think in a five-game series, the Red Sox are very well suited. However, in a seven-game series, you may see that they probably aren't, pitching-wise.
If the Red Sox make a Game 7 of the World Series, then that would be the time to talk baseball, but not until then. Is that a text from Fred Tutcher? Is that Adam Jones? Is that sign from Scott Zolak?
We're talking baseball.
All right, there's just a few texts.
Red Sox are in the playoffs. We're going to talk about the Red Sox.
I know, we're not talking about this great barn burner of Patriots.
It's going to be away tomorrow.
No, guys, you got to touch on the Celtics preseason game. All right, no Jaylen Brown. Got to make sure that we get that in.
Linus Hallmark.
One game. Trade Linus Hallmark. There, that's my Bruins.
John has this theory that Swayman's going to start a bunch of games and then you're going to deal him.
I know, he was telling me that yesterday.
Has some crazy hockey fears.
I think Linus Hallmark is going to be great. He's going to be great.
I hope so.
Of course.
My guy Hallmark.
Take Sox in seven
games. Let's leave you guys with a laugh here. We like to laugh at other fan bases in other cities all the time. Of course, sure, Tampa Bay is about to lose their franchise to Montreal, but they have a fan anthem. And we found this on YouTube just by searching, like, I think, like, Rays fan anthem. This is Glenn Fire right here, Nick. It's a slow buildup, as Mutt would say. This is the worst fan anthem in the history of fan anthem. Who's getting off their seat? Is Dick Vitale getting off his seat for this one? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm getting going.
The Rays are on fire. We don't need no water. Let the mother burn.
So bad. This is the worst thing I've ever contributed to this
station. As a music connoisseur like myself, especially when it comes to EDM or house music, the beat is fire.
Can I get a grade? A 1-10 grade from Chris Scheim?
The beat is probably like a 9. The lyrics, however, probably like a 2. So
The Rays are on fire.
So I think overall the song is probably right around a 4.5, like a 4.5. That would be my overall.
Can we get a grade from the desk of Ryan Garvin?
It stinks.
Oh, I'm come on.
Sorry.
Appreciate
for
the beat.
Finding it in the first place.
I couldn't stop moving.
So that is the Sox Rays opponent. They're playing Tampa, of course.
The Rays S for stinky.
The Rays are on fire. How about the Patriots? They're going to Houston, and of course, rap is huge down there. You got Paul Wall, Pimp C, Mike Jones. You got a lot of Houston rappers. So of course, naturally, the city of Houston makes a rap about how thankful they are to be a Texan.
Win or lose, I stay repping. Win or lose.
We've heard enough. That is
Why are you calling yourself a Texan? You're not on the team. You don't have a jersey unless you buy one custom made, you jerk.
The rapper had like a massive Texans chain that was like on a spinner. He would just like spin the Texans logo
on
his chain.
Those are always really tough.
I love
to
rap
do.
Music and I like dancing to rap music, but that song stinks.
But you kind of write yourself into a corner, right? You're like, yeah, they throw the ball really good and they're going to run for a first down.
Thank
and
look, God I'm a Texan.
They got all that yak, man, run after catch, man. Like, there's not a lot you can
we
do.
We don't need
these
no water.
That's
the mother
anthem.
Yo, shout out to the Scrim fans checking in from New Jersey.
Scrim. What's up, Scrim?
That'd be me.
This is the WEI Producer Show. Us three, along with John Anderson, some group of us three of the four, are here every Saturday 8 to 9 a.m. with the Ken and Curtis Show following us. And so they are coming up next. We appreciate you guys listening to us. If you're just now joining us, there is a rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Just hit that or find us on demand where you can catch up on all the takes that we've had about the Red Sox. And to the dismay of many others in this market, they are still winning and still alive, and they're playing playoff baseball right here in the city of Boston tomorrow, 4 o'clock at Fenway Park. It's going to be electric. It's going to be great. Let's see if they can pull off the upset and and knock off the Tampa Bay Rays. So we'll see. That is coming up on Sunday at 4 o'clock. We are back next week, Saturday, 8 a.m. for Ryan, for Chris, for Nick LaPan. I am Tyler Devitt. We appreciate you guys. We'll see you next week.
Good weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.